Thank you very much. I call the ordinance committee at 7:55. First up is the acceptance of minutes from the committee held on October 7th. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Acceptance of minutes from November 4th meeting. Do I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Third is acceptance of the minutes on November 18th. Do I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. First up is PCO 3-19, an ordinance relative to boat storage on residential property. This is not drafted. Councilman Corley.
I have learned from the solicitor, or Mr. Harrington, that there are some procedural steps that have to be taken, have to be done. I'm asking that it be moved to the second meeting in March.
Okay. What's the date on that? I'll accept that as a motion to hold to March 23rd. Do I have a second?
Second.
It's been moved and second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Next up is PCO 15-19, an ordinance regarding health insurance for city employees. I know a lot of you are here tonight to speak about this issue. I just have some opening remarks, and then I will call on my colleagues on the committee and the council to address this. I believe that process is important, and how we come about making major changes is very important. As chair of the ordinance committee, I was not asked my thoughts on doing a major health care bill, and I know a number of my other colleagues on this council were not asked either. Health care is critical to every individual and family. There are people on this council and in the public who have experience on health care issues, and they should have been consulted on this issue. I also believe there should have been a meeting or an attempt to reach out to employees and retirees that legislation like this would affect. Everyone wants to make sure the city can pay all their obligations, but process matters. More than just a few people should be involved in any major legislation like health care. This legislation has a number of things that needs to be addressed, and it could have been addressed earlier on had more people been able to participate. I do not believe this legislation had the proper time to be vetted by all the stakeholders that would be affected, and that includes the taxpayers. So those are my opening remarks, and I would like to call on if anyone on the committee has any remarks. Councilman Sinapi.
So I'm not going to belabor the point. I'm of a similar mind. I was standing for much of these same issues while canvassing too. Not terribly pleased with how this went about. I'm going to docket a resolution to form a commission to study this issue the way it should have been done, with actual all the stakeholders involved. That way we can figure this out together and not unilaterally shove something down people's throats. So hopefully we can work on something that everyone can agree on rather than just the council agrees on, because I don't think that's the way this should be done.
Thank you. Any other questions from the committee? Councilman Lattiser is the sponsor. Would you like to speak?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I request a fiscal note on this and ask that it be held until the first meeting in January.
Okay. I would ask the council to speak on that, please.
Pursuant to Section 30, Chapter 30, Section 5 of the Warwick Code of Ordinances, a fiscal note is required to be accompanied to ordinances and resolutions. At the request of the mayor or any member of the city council, an ordinance or resolution having an effect on the revenues, expenditures, or fiscal liability of the city shall be accompanied by a brief explanatory statement or note prepared by the finance department, which sets forth the estimated dollar effect thereof. Such statements or notes shall be known as fiscal notes, and when requested as above, shall accompany an ordinance or resolution prior to the consideration by the city council. Pursuant to precedent, the enforcement of this is to act as the ceasing of consideration by the committee and the council, so there can be no formal action or consideration taken on this matter until a fiscal note is presented.
Thank you. So it's my understanding that we cannot vote up or down on this until the fiscal note comes. However, we can continue this this hearing and have public comments on the legislation as it's been drafted.
It is it is at the discretion of the chair of the committee to proceed with public commentary, but the committee and the council itself is advised to cease, or you might be violating the ordinances. So consideration needs to end, but public comment is at the discretion to proceed.
Okay. Going along with that, I will move for a public comment. But before we get to the public comment, I would like to see if any other members of the council have any questions.
Our attorney, do we need to have a motion in the committee for the fiscal note as requested by the sponsor?
It has met the requirement of being requested by a duly authorized member of the council.
Councilman Ricks.
I also just want to clarify with the our city solicitor, am I allowed to speak on this topic due to the fiscal note being requested, or should I hold my comments?
The item itself is going to be held to a point to be determined, and per precedent and practice and of this ordinance is advised to cease from participation in the consideration process.
Well, I've made my public statements earlier, although not in this venue, and so I will follow the practice and precedent here to be on the safe side and avoid violating the law. Thank you.
Any other questions from members of the council? Therefore, I move to see if there's any questions or comments from members of the public. Is there anyone from the administration that would like to speak, or any? We'll hear from the administration first, and then any member from the public.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to introduce Tim Bliss, who is our long-experienced labor attorney. This is also Mayor Solomon's appointment awaiting confirmation tonight as our city solicitor. I think we have some concerns regarding the legality of the legislation that appears before you tonight. I'd like to put Tim Bliss forward.
Thank you. Mr. Bliss, just identify yourself for the record.
Timothy Bliss. I'm an attorney practicing in Rhode Island. I've been nominated for the city solicitor's position.
Okay, and with the understanding that this council, this committee, we cannot take a up or down vote at this time. We're just looking for your thoughts on the legislation as it's drafted at this time.
In my opinion, the legislation, were the city to attempt to enforce it, would mire the city in protracted litigation, which it has little success or little chance of success. I think the ordinances are essentially unenforceable, particularly, on a number of fronts. The ordinance as drafted seek to change benefits that are vested in existing retirees, which is a violation of the contracts clause. It also fundamentally misunderstands, I believe, fundamental tenets of labor law, in that it seeks to impose terms that are mandatory subjects of bargaining in future contracts, and that's just not possible.
Thank you very much, and keeping in mind that we are going to go through this process again, as this will be held. Is there any questions from members of the committee? Any questions?
No.
Okay. I open up to public comment. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak on this topic? Good evening, sir. Just please identify yourself for the record.
Good evening to the members of the council and to the chairman. My name is Jim Cinerini. I serve as a senior staff representative for Rhode Island Council 94, the American Federation of State Crime Discipline Employees. I'm here tonight on the behalf of the new president, who can come up here and join me, Walter Hartley, who is the president of Warwick City Employees Local 1651, also the president from Council 94. In addition to all of our members, is Lexi Lyman, who is a senior staff representative who actually works with the local and negotiates the contracts for the city employees. I greatly respect the move that you have made here tonight, which is to dedicate more time and consideration to this very, very complicated issue. I am not going to go through line by line all of our objections to the proposed ordinance, as we feel that there are many flaws in the which and way it was drafted that would make it subject, as Councillor Bliss referred to an endless cycle of litigation. I would, though, like to emphasize 2 points. I do not believe she's here anymore, but Jean Bouchard, who is the former president of Local 1651 in times of economic crisis, had successfully negotiated some very difficult concessionary contracts that right during the middle of the financial crisis and meltdown saved the city substantial amounts of money. And those were material changes that were made to directly help the city in their time of economic crisis and in their time of economic need. I would urge this council not to lose sight of the fact that many of the members who live, who actually are work for the city and members are of Local 1651, are also taxpayers of this city. One other thing that I just want to point out, because I hear the term economic crisis thrown around a lot, when it's regard to pensions and other post-employment benefits. And I did not have time, in full disclosure, to read your entire actuarial analysis, but some of you may know that I have spent a considerable amount of time reviewing actuarial analyses both in the state and municipal level for all different ranges of proposed legislation. I would tell you that the City of Warwick's active employee pension fund is not in crisis. And just my cursory review of your actuary analysis. In the city's most current actuarial analysis as presented and submitted to this council, I believe that your number may have declined from 72.7% funded to 72.6% funded. Now, granted, everyone would like the pension fund to be well over 80%, but one of the members of the pension board did supply me documentation that I went over, but I have to make sure I understand all the bar graphs, that show that in recent years, you're projected to, I believe, to be well over 80% funded for your active city employees' pension plan. Number two, I did take a quick look at the document that was prepared. On my phone, it's a little tough to read. I'm getting older, hence the eyeglasses. So I did take a look at your actuarial analysis regarded to your post-retirement health care, otherwise known as OPEB. The one thing that I did notice there is there is a definite notice there that there is not a trust fund has not been established. I've talked to Walter about this as president. We understand your desire. We understand the necessity to look at and address some of these problems. But from Local 1651's perspective, the proper place to address this is at the bargaining table, not preemptively through the drafting of ordinances. And so that is our main message here in all of our testimony that we've submitted. We are willing to work with you, we are willing to talk with you, but as Councillor Bliss pointed to, there are mechanisms already in place to address these pressing issues. And it should be done, in our opinion, at the bargaining table and not done preemptively by the drafting of an ordinance that curtails the scope of bargaining. Because as I alluded to earlier, this local has stepped forward in times of crisis. Taking such drastic measures as unilaterally implementing an ordinance will harm the bargaining relationship in this city, let there be no doubt, and make it very hard for elected leadership of the local long after I'm gone, or Walter's gone or anyone gone to get favorable changes. So with that, we would leave our comments and we will look forward to seeing future action and discussion. And if there is a study commission, I believe Walter would be open to having discussions pertaining to that. Did I miss anything, Walter?
No, I think you hit it all on the head.
Just please.
For the record, my name is Walter Hartley. I am the newly elected president of local council, local 1651 bargaining unit. When we're talking health issues or health benefits, this really touches the heart of everybody that sits behind me, whether it's a personal matter or it's a family member. This is what we have the negotiation process for, so we can sit down and we can discuss these things. We've had no issues in the past to discuss issues such as increasing any pension contributions we're making. Years and years ago, there was no issues sitting down at the bargaining table when health insurance didn't cost the city employee anything, that we went up into increments to where we are today. My concern is if any of us here in this room is meeting up to what they call the magic 80, where they could leave the city. At that point in my life, my youngest daughter will be 18 years old. So my insurance for her is going to stop. That's a huge concern for me, the health and coverage for my family. I'm very fortunate that in my wife's practice and profession, that she makes much more money than I do, and I joke around saying that I work for the city, I'm a dedicated city employee, but it's the benefits that really turn us and get us riled up about that. This is something that we all work for. We're not over drastically paid, so we like to have our benefits increased or at least stay the same. This is what our goal is, and we have no issues whatsoever getting together when it's time for negotiations to sit down and talk about this. Again, we've done it in the past, and we can continue it in the future. Chairman, I thank you for the opportunity and the rest of the City Council as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else from the public who would like to speak tonight? Is there anyone else from the public who would like to speak tonight? Okay. With that, I will. We have a request from the sponsor to hold for the fiscal until we get a fiscal note. Yep. Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Chairman. The request was a fiscal note and to hold until the first meeting in January.
Given that the rules prevent us from holding any longer, I'll move to hold until January 6th.
January 6th. There's a motion to hold to January 6th. Do I have a second?
Second.
It's been second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you very much. That closes ordinance at 8:13.
So public safety is going to convene at 8:17 p.m. First order of business is acceptance of minutes from the committee meeting held on October 7, 2019.
Motion to approve.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Next is acceptance of minutes from the committee meeting held on October 21st, 2019.
Motion to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Next is acceptance of minutes from the committee meeting held on November 4th, 2019.
Motion to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
And then the last is acceptance of minutes from November 18th, 2019.
Well, motion to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
And then abstain for me. Next is PCR 190-19, resolution relative to claims. And we have two. First, we have the claim from Raymond Regusta. I assume Raymond Regusta isn't here. All right.
Raymond Regusta.
All right, given the contents of the new rules we have with this, it's not a surprise nor a requirement for him to be here. The claim was recommended for denial by the fire chief. The affidavit was filled out correctly, and all the documentation does look like it's in order. However, the claim stems from an issue where everyone agrees the firefighters did everything right, where a life alert was triggered, and the firefighters had to attempt to gain access to a building that they could otherwise not gain access to, and it damaged a door in the process. My own personal view is if the firefighters didn't break down the door and then it turned out the individual was in mortal peril, they'd be in a lot of trouble and we'd probably be sued. So I kind of agree with what the claimant even says, where the responders did nothing wrong in the process, and he notes he appreciates their efforts. And based on the respondent's report from the Warwick Police Department, I'm of a similar mindset. I don't want to read from it because there's private medical information in there, but it speaks for itself. Does the committee have any thoughts or comments?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to second what you said. I think that this would be in no criticism of the claimant, Mr. Regusta. I think that this would set a bad precedent. The firefighters are called for the safety of the citizens. They get to a house. If there's no response, that's why the fire department was called, to get to the victim or get to the injured as quick and as professional as possible. And the way that I look at it is there's some damage to a door, but as Mr. Regusta said, he was not home, and the wife ended up being okay, and I think that's the big exclamation mark at the end of this story. So I feel obligated not to vote for this, not to set that precedent, so that I do not want to hinder the fire people from doing their job, not one iota, especially wondering if it's the proper situation or not when they have one mindset, and that's to save a life. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I concur with Councilman Howe. And looking at this as a lawyer, I also think about the standard that the city is supposed to use in these cases, the standards that we use legally here in our courts in Rhode Island every day. And the standard in all of these different cases is negligence. So the question is, was the fire department negligent in responding to this call? Were they negligent in breaking down this door when they didn't hear a response after being called out there by, well, not getting into the details there, but the obvious answer is no, they were doing their jobs, they were not negligent. The city nor the first responders, there was no negligence here. Therefore, because they weren't negligent, and I'm not saying that anyone was negligent in this case, there can be situations out there where nobody was negligent, but damage is done, somebody's got to pay for the damage, and because the city was not negligent, then the city should not have to pay for the damage here. And I don't want to, similar to Councilman Howe, set a precedent otherwise, because as much as it would be easy for us to approve this claim and to give the resident the reimbursement for this, it wouldn't be proper for us to give away taxpayer money when the standards we use are such that it's not appropriate for us to give away this taxpayer money and then also run the risk of setting a precedent for something much bigger down the line. For those reasons, I intended to vote against this request for the reimbursement.
And just everyone bear in mind that due to the new way we handle this, the claimant will have an opportunity to come before us if they so choose, if we're indicating that we're going to be voting no. Does anyone have any questions and comments from the council? Councilman Lattiser.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This Raymond Regusta, he lives in my ward. And I understand and respect all the opinions from the members of the committee. I concur that there was no negligence on the side of the fire department. But nonetheless, what the man is looking for, by the way, let me preface this by saying the reason he's not here this evening is because his wife is very ill and he can't leave her alone. So that's the reason why he's not here. I had spoken to him on this claim. The issue here is about being reimbursed for the damage of this door. It's not about establishing blame or negligence or anything of the kind. There's no insinuation or no accusation on the part of my constituent nor myself that there was any negligence. Obviously, the fire department needed to do what they needed to do to save the occupant of this house. And I concur with that, and I'm not questioning the rationale or the reasons for doing it. I'm simply pleading the case and this issue where what he's looking for is to replace the door. It's a $199, $200 door. It's a $200 door. He was not and is not asking for labor. He's not asking for new hardware on the door. He's asking simply to replace the door that was damaged for a senior citizen. And that amount, I can tell you, being in the business, I can't buy a door for that price. So I don't know where he found it. Perhaps I should ask that question. But what I am asking is set aside any of the legalese. There's no question about that, no question about the dedication, the loyalty, the necessity to get in. It's a simple claim from a senior citizen who's asking to be reimbursed for the damage of this door, just as people come before this committee all the time asking for damages that they sustain through other areas throughout the city. So that's my plea to you, and I leave it in your hands. Thank you.
Any other members of the council? Any members of the public? Any members of the public? All right, seeing none, unless we're going to vote it up, we have to hold this and give the claimant the opportunity. So entertain a motion either to vote in favor or to hold this.
Motion to hold until December 16th.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And then we have minutes for the committee meeting for the consent calendar for October 7th, 2019.
Move to
accept. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Next we have PCO 18-19 ordinance in regards to no parking sign being erected on the even, parentheses, east side of Oak Ridge Court. Second passage, Councilman McAllister.
I asked for favorable action at second passage. I had a traffic study backing this up.
All right, sponsors requested favorable action on second passage. Is there a motion?
Move for
favorable action.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Next is the PCO 149-19 resolution relative to claims, specifically Ms. Kristen Miller. I assume Ms. Miller is not here.
Mr. Chairman, I ask that this was held in the last meeting as I wanted you to be present.
Much obliged. I had called Ms. Miller many months ago at this point, noticing her documents were incomplete and her affidavit was incorrect. She has since fixed that. She has completed a updated affidavit, which appears correct. She has submitted two additional estimates, bringing her total to three. Both the additional estimates are actually for more than her original one. Original request was $299.42. Both the new estimates came over $300. The department had already recommended approval of this claim back in August. So now with the additional documentation in hand, it looks like everything's in order. Do we have any questions from members of the committee? Do we have any questions from members of the council? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Seeing none, can entertain a motion.
Move for favorable action, approval in the amount of $299.42.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed?
Aye.
Just say nay. Nay.
All right. PCO 149-19 passes. PCO 24-19, ordinance in regards to one-way traffic on Alice Avenue. Councilman McAllister.
I ask that this be held to the first meeting in January. I haven't got a chance to speak to all the neighbors on that street.
All right, there's been a request by the sponsor to hold this to the first meeting in January. Just need a motion.
I'm requesting the sponsor hold until January 6th.
Mm-hmm. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? All right, PCO 25-19, ordinance in regards to no parking between signs either side be erected from the southeast corner of Cadora and Greenwich until shortly after poll number one. Councilman Mee, I'm going to request to hold this till the next meeting just to fix some language in the resolution. So that's December 16th.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And that's it, right, then. All right, public safety closes at 8:31.
This is the committee meeting for the Intergovernmental Committee. It's beginning at 8:33. The first item on the agenda is the acceptance of minutes from October 7, 2019.
Move for favorable action.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
The minutes for October 21st.
Move favorable action.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
November 4th.
Move for favorable action.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
November 18th.
Move for favorable action.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
The first item on the regular agenda is PCR 180-19, a resolution to the General Assembly requesting a waiver/exemption to the ride regulations requirements. It's not drafted. Councilman Lattiser. This is a resolution to the General Assembly for requesting a waiver/exemption to the ride regulations requirements.
Motion hold until December 16th per the sponsor.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Second item is PCR 183-19, a resolution to the Rhode Island State Traffic Commission and the Rhode Island Department of Transportation regarding Wild's Corner. This is from Councilman Sinapi and Councilwoman Travis.
So obviously we recommend favorable action, and hopefully it speaks for itself given the contents of the last two meetings, and Councilwoman Travis can feel free to add in anything.
Can I have a motion?
We could ask.
Oh, anyone from the committee wish to comment? Anyone from the council wish to comment or ask questions? Anyone from the public want to be heard on a resolution to the Rhode Island State Traffic Commission and the Rhode Island Department of Transportation regarding Wild's Corner? Anyone from the public?
Motion for favorable action.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
The last item on the agenda is PCR 184-19, resolution relative to no commercial trucking on Narragansett Parkway. I am the sponsor. I spoke with Representative McNamara yesterday. He said he would be sending me some language, so I would ask that it be held until January 6th.
Seconded.
All in favor?
Aye.
That concludes the Intergovernmental Committee meeting at 8:37.
It is now 8:38. The Committee on Appointments will now come to order. The first order of business is the acceptance of the minutes from the committee meeting held on October 7th, 2019. Do I hear a motion?
Move to accept.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Next is the acceptance of the meeting minutes of the meeting on November 4th, 2019. Do I hear a motion?
Motion to accept.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. The next matter is the appointment of the city solicitor, Timothy Bliss. Good evening, Mr. Bliss.
Good evening.
Could you just give us a brief description of your experience?
Sure. I've been practicing law since 1999. I primarily practice in the field of labor law. I've been representing, specifically municipal labor law, I've been representing municipalities for the past 20 years, and I've been representing the city for the past year. It'll be a year in the end of December.
Okay. Does the committee have any questions?
Thank you, Mr. Bliss, and I see in your resume your education, that you were admitted to practice in Massachusetts in the district courts of Rhode Island and Massachusetts, United States Court of Appeals for the First Circuit, that you have, you also mentioned that you have done some work for the over the past year for the city of Warwick, so you are familiar with some of the labor issues, and what other issues have you, topics have you addressed or worked on?
Well, I've addressed a number of topics before I, right at the start of when I came on board, but I think fairly quickly, Mayor Solomon was assembling a team of sort of legal experts in their field. So I specialize, as I said, in labor law and also in general litigation. And since he's sort of assembled this team, I've more or less been restricted to those areas. I was very involved in the negotiation of the recent fire contract, representing the city and the interest arbitration that was going on, and all of the associated arbitrations with the fire unions, as well as we've had Council 94 unions, Council 94 grievances, arbitrations, and several police matters as well.
So you you'll be able to hit the ground running on your first day, solicitor, because you already have a good idea of some of the issues that are coming out, and you'll be able to see even more. But you kind of already have a head start, whereas you've been working for the city.
Absolutely. I think I'll continue to represent the city in the labor and employment field and sort of oversee the team that the mayor's assembled. But as I said, they're all experts in their field. I would be more of an overseer there. I'm certainly not gonna take over, because he's done a good job in hand selecting them, and I certainly don't want to get in the way of that.
Okay, thank you.
It's encouraging to see this appointment before us today. You are highly qualified, having practiced law for nearly 20 years now, and having that specialty in labor and employment law, and being having that continuity of representing the city in this last year. Just want to make sure to go over a couple of quick questions. First, wanted to check to see if there were any conflicts with any of the collective bargaining units that are represented by the city, rather if you have represented any of them in the past.
Absolutely not. No, I've for my entire career, I've been solely a management side attorney, and even in my practice, I've been a defense side attorney on the litigation generally, but no conflicts.
And I think that you indicated earlier, but I wanted to check. You stated that it was your intent to, as the city solicitor, appoint those attorneys that have been practicing in the more specialized area to maintain the continuity, unless, of course, well, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I imagine that if there's a, you know, that would be the plan of action until there's a good reason not to?
Absolutely, yes. I think that's a very, very astute statement.
That all makes sense to me. Your qualifications speak for themselves, and I think that I have, based on the answer to those couple of questions, I have no reservations about casting a favorable vote.
I appreciate that.
Any questions from the council?
Yes. I have a question. Mr. Chair.
Mr. President.
Thank you. I, too, support your nomination. I think you're qualified, Mr. Bliss. And I'd like to publicly thank the mayor for making that appointment. And also, I'd like to thank Mr. DePasquale. Thank you, Mr. DePasquale. I know that you said you've been working for the administration for a year. I know, as Mr. DePasquale pointed out, it was an exhaustive search, and you were under our nose the whole time. So I'm glad it's you, because you do have that experience. You do, under the charter, have appointments that don't come before us for things like criminal prosecutions. Can you tell us who the criminal prosecutors will be for the city of Warwick?
Well, currently the criminal prosecution is being done by an individual, Tom O'Brien, who's a former state prosecutor who I've spoken with, very highly competent in his area, and I would like to see him continue in that role.
Okay. I think, is it Judge Bucci that's over in the Superior Court now? Or is it the District Court?
Judge Bucci is in the District Court.
Right. I know in the past we've had two prosecutors, because I think we have two criminal prosecution days, and I happened to be in the courtroom when Judge Bucci was not overly thrilled with the fact that one of our prosecutor wasn't available because he was in a different court. So I would just bring that to your attention also. And who will be our zoning board attorney?
The zoning attorney, I believe, is being has been handled and will continue to be handled by an attorney, Peter Clarkin.
And who will be our planning board attorney?
I believe all of the boards and commissions have been represented by Lou DeSimone.
And who will be the attorney for the Board of Public Safety?
The Board of Public Safety is also Mr. DeSimone. He represents all the boards other than I represent the retirement board.
Is there a correction?
Oh, he was just, Mr. DePasquale was just pointing out that Peter Clarkin was planning and zoning, and that Mr. DeSimone was the rest of the boards, other than the retirement board, which I represent.
So other than Tom O'Brien, Peter Clarkin, Lou DeSimone, And I guess those are the ones that you've mentioned. Are there any other attorneys that work for the city?
Not currently, no.
And who is bond counsel for the city?
That would be Karen Grandy.
Karen. So are there any other attorney? And those are the ones that you'll be appointing?
Correct.
Thank you. Oh, the last question I had for you is, occasionally the city council goes into executive session to discuss litigations. You would be available to brief us on litigations, correct?
Sure. To the extent the council has questions for me, I would certainly be available.
Would you be available in 2 weeks to brief us for an executive session?
In 2 weeks?
Yes.
I believe so.
Okay. I'm just going to put it down because we haven't had anybody brief us on those issues. So, thank you.
Sure. Absolutely.
Question?
Councilman Cawley.
Mr. Bliss, can you tell me what your experience is in the litigation field? I see from your resume you said that you represented businesses and individuals in state and federal courts.
Yes.
Have you tried cases?
I've tried a handful of cases. As I always tell my clients, especially in the labor and employment field, things very rarely go to trial. Quite often they settle the lion's share of the time.
Right. Well, most cases do settle, but have you ever been able to, have you ever had a jury trial?
I've not had a jury trial, no. I mean, I've second chaired them. I've never been a first chair in a jury trial.
And the individuals that you represented, what types of cases were those?
Over the course of 20 years, I've handled everything from, pretty much every aspect of defending employers in employment lawsuits. I've represented municipal employers in collective bargaining, arbitrations, state labor relations board proceedings. I've handled labor disputes that have gone to the courts, in the federal courts and the state courts.
Your civil practice has mostly been in the field of labor law, not different types of civil litigation?
I would say maybe 60 to 70% labor and employment law, and the rest general litigation.
And have you represented both plaintiffs and defendants?
I have represented both plaintiffs and defendants, but my plaintiff's practice is very limited. It's not frequent, and I've never, I always hesitate to say never, but I don't believe I've ever represented a plaintiff. I've definitely never represented a public or private union. I don't believe I've ever represented a plaintiff in an employment case. I've represented a few in some general litigation cases.
And I am aware of the issue that the president brought up. I know that Warwick used to have 2 days of prosecution in the district court, and they were on Mondays and Wednesdays, and it was split between two attorneys. I don't know if it's still 2 days, and Mr. O'Brien covers both Monday and Wednesday, or if it has been consolidated. I know that they go on Friday because I've had cases on Fridays and seen him there. So that is something that might be worth investigating, because we certainly don't want the district court judges to feel that we are not covering the cases that need to be done, because Warwick does have a certain number of them, and it may require two different sessions in a week. But I'll leave that to your discretion.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
One other brief item, more of a comment than a question. I certainly have not heard anything that gives me any concerns about any of the attorneys currently working for the city, but I would just, I suppose, part of the City Council's role is not just the consent, but also the advice. So I just wanted to state publicly on the record that it may be something to consider going out to bid for some of the other attorneys that you would be appointing to represent the city. While, you know, it would ultimately be the choice of yourself, if appointed, should this honorable body do so. It is the city solicitor's role to make that decision. It may be, and certainly it's well inside your discretion to give preference based on experience, and there is value to continuity. It may also help in the city's financial interests to see if the attorneys currently performing work for the city would be willing to modify any rate structures. I'm not even certain exactly what the rate structures are, or, you know, also to put that out there in the form of an RFP or the like, so that you can see who else is out there, who's competitive, and make those more informed decisions, all, of course, within your discretion. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Councilman Lattice.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Tim, I don't know you well, and I have not been acquainted with you for a long time, very brief period, actually. But I want to reference the time and the times that I have spent with you, and that is in the pension board. And I have always found you to be very professional. I found you to be thorough. And when questions or issues were presented to you, you responded to those with knowledge of the issues. So I will be supporting your appointment. Look forward to working with you more, and I have a feeling that we will be having conversations as we go down the road. But good luck in your position, and congratulations.
Thank you, Councilman. I appreciate that.
Councilman Travis. Councilman Travis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want to welcome you. Look forward to working with you. And I just wanted to be able to say that I am definitely supporting you, and I look forward to working with you in the future.
Thank you, Councilman. I appreciate that.
Councilman Sinapi.
Just wanted to point out that at least at the law firm I work at, I've heard nothing but positive things about Attorney Bliss prior to him being appointed, and even after, once I brought up the fact that he was nominated. So looking forward to it.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Any other questions from the council? Any questions from the public? I just wanted to say thank you very much for applying. Not hearing any other questions, do I hear a motion?
Move for favorable action for the appointment of Timothy Bliss to the position of City Solicitor.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next order of business is appointments to the Juvenile Hearing Board. The first one is Frank Brown. Mr. Brown here. I looked at his resume, and it looks excellent. I believe Councilman Corley has spoken to him today.
Yes. I believe 2 weeks ago I gave him a call when I, after I had read his resume and read the accompanying letter of recommendation. When I went through the resume, I was impressed with his background outside of work and his background at work, that he has been working with our youth in the sports field. He's been a coach and umpire. He's been involved in many of the different sports that are conducted throughout the city. And when I called him up, I spoke to him about that, and I talked about how I thought that young people being involved in sports usually keeps them out of the juvenile hearing board, but when they do find their way there, at least your experience will be able to help direct them away from the school-to-prison pipeline, because that's something that I have a lot of experience with my clients. And he also told me that he was in charge of the residential services for the developmentally disabled population at Buddha and for the state, and that is one of the a very challenging population to work with. And I thought that the way he presented himself, he is a compassionate individual that would be able to have a positive effect on the children that go through the hearing process. I did get a call today from our liaison to ask me whether or not he would be appearing. And I said, I'm sorry, I had not called him since I spoke to him a couple of weeks ago, and I had been busy over the weekend, all weekend moving, so I did not call him. But I did spend a good 20 minutes on the phone speaking with him, and his mother used to be on the Ward 1 Democratic Committee, Linda Dale, and he lives right near the Warwick Firefighters Club, Beechcrest, a street off of Warwick Avenue, right before you get to that red light. But I was impressed with his demeanor over the phone and his experience working with youth, so I am wholeheartedly supporting him for the position.
Any other questions from the committee? Questions from the council? Questions from the public? Hearing none, do I hear a motion?
Move for appointment of Frank A. Brown to the Juvenile Hearing Board.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
The second person to the appointment to the Juvenile Hearing Board is Kara Coogan. She wasn't able to make it here tonight. She is a clinical therapist who performs intensive clinical and crisis intervention services to clients. She is caught down in Portsmouth tonight, so she wasn't able to be here. But her resume is also an excellent one, and I would recommend favorable action to her. Any other questions from the committee? Questions from the council? Questions from the public? Hearing none, do I hear a motion?
Based on the information that we have been presented and based on a very impressive resume and references, I would move for favorable action for the appointment of Kara E. Coogan to the Juvenile Hearing Board.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. The third is the appointment of Jeffrey Miner to the Juvenile Hearing Board. I believe this is a reappointment. Any question? Would you like to speak, Mr. Miner?
Thank you. I appreciate the chance to speak to you tonight. I have something you might find interesting, a brief history of the hearing board.
Thank you very much. This is very interesting.
Well, if you'd like to know anything about my role on the board since its beginning, I've been there all the time.
Good. Any questions from the committee?
Thank you very much, Mr. Miner. I really appreciate, as you mentioned, you have served on this board since the beginning. So that 1992?
Wow. Yes.
So, you know, you indicate that this board has continued to meet monthly, hearing cases referred for consideration. Each case typically takes 30 to 45 minutes. So I would just like to thank you for your service to our city. You are a dedicated resident to the city of Warwick. This is a very important board, and you have a big impact on a number of people's lives, and you've had it for 30 years. So I want to thank you for your service to the city of Warwick, and I look forward to supporting your reappointment to this board.
Thank you.
Councilman Ricks.
Thank you for your service. I intend to support your reappointment.
Thank you.
Any other questions from the council?
Yes.
Council President.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Miner, for your service. I know you've been on a long time. I know that I've had several constituents, kids, go through the board when they've made ill-advised decisions at a young age, and they've really gotten a second bite of the apple without getting a criminal record, which is so important when they go out in life to try to better themselves, whether it be a college, a vocational school, or a job. And I think the Juvenile Hearing Board plays such a vital role in the city to prevent that from happening and to get kids on the straight path of being a productive citizen rather than an unproductive citizen. And I thank you, and I know I'm sure you have plenty of stories, success stories, over it's almost 30 years of service to the city. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any more questions from the council? Any questions from the public? Hearing none, do I hear a motion?
Move for reappointment.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you, Mr. Miner.
Thank you very much.
William Russo.
Good evening.
Good evening, Mr. Russo. Thank you for wanting to stay on. Do you have any words to say to us?
Thank you. Just a general statement that I've enjoyed my time there. It's very meaningful work. We have some good professional people there. And under the direction of Mr. Miner, he's full of wisdom. He handles the situations very good. He gives everybody an equal opportunity to speak and respond to the give and take questioning that goes on. And we're there to help the kids. There's nothing punitive in nature there. We try to reach out and accommodate them at all time with all at all times with all situations, whether it be community service, and we try to put them in the area where they may live. So if there's a transportation problem, that'll be taken care of. So Mr. Miner's been very thoughtful, and so has the rest of the board, and I've enjoyed being there. Thank you.
Thank you. Any more questions?
Yes. And I want to thank you, Mr. Russo. I've known you for a number of years now. You're a retired Warwick police officer, so you have served this committee, just like Mr. Miner, for well over 30 years. I really appreciate that. I know that you take this work very seriously, and you put the time and effort into that. I know that you've also are always looking to service the city in different ways. The only knock I have against you is that you moved out of Ward 7, moved to Ward 5 recently, but I will still be supporting your reappointment this evening.
Well, thanks for not holding that against me.
Any other questions from the council? Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Bill, I've known you since 2013, and our first communications was while I was chairing the Warwick City Council Sewer Review Commission, and you were extremely helpful to the success of that commission, the research and the report that you had done before my time was invaluable to us in helping us to understand and recognize what the real problems were as opposed to the political problems. Your ability to research is impeccable. Your willingness to serve the community in any capacities that's asked of you is certainly more than commendable. So with that said, I think probably one of the smarter things you've done in your life is to move into Ward 5, quite the contrary of my colleague on the end of the table over there. But at any rate, we can choose to agree or disagree on that, Councilman McAllister. But Bill, I am really grateful for your willingness to volunteer your time and efforts to the citizens of the city of Warwick, to the elected officials here in the city of Warwick, to the mayor and the executive branch. And I know we are going to be the benefactors of your ability and your time. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments, Councilman.
Councilwoman Travis.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've known Mr. Russo for over 30 years, so we go way back, before I was even a council person. And his love for the city of Warwick is what makes him a special person. It really is, because I've seen him work on many commissions and many reports. He's come back, just, you ask him a simple question, he comes back thorough, and he puts 110% into everything he does. So it's an honor to put you back on the Juvenile Hearing Board. I always look forward to working with you, Mr. Russo.
Thank you for your kind words. Thank you.
Councilman Howe.
On first. I wanted to give Councilman Lattiser the opportunity to speak before I said it. I actually met Mr. Russo in 2010. I remember we met on a completely off political, I don't know if you remember this, but we sat for about 15 minutes and we talked. And I just remember we discussed a lot of different things, mostly safety, Warwick safety. And at the time, my kids were in the school, and you and I just randomly met. I don't know if you remember this.
Yes, I do.
Okay, yep. And ever since then, I always enjoyed it because we've had discussions where we may have disagreed on some things, but you'd never know it because you stated your opinion. It gave me something, always gave me food for thought. Always, always, always. And I just want to say on record, I've always respected you from the minute I met you. I find you to be a good person, and I'm very happy, especially, that you'd be on the Juvenile Hearing Board because I think that you would be a great model for people to understand and to look up to. So I look forward to talking to you more in the few times we do talk, and thank you for your service to the city.
Thank you. I do remember the shirt you were wearing. It was Autumna, Iowa Fire Department.
Oh, my, yeah.
Right? I remember because Radar O'Reilly from MASH was always from Autumna, Iowa.
And yeah. My old battle buddies are now in Autumna, Iowa, and so he's the one who got me the shirt.
Well, my memory hasn't left me yet. Okay.
Definitely not. Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. President.
Yes. Bill, I just also wanted to thank you for your service. And listening to you over the years when you were a police officer, when you came to the council chamber, was always very helpful. And I think it's real helpful to have a former police officer on the Juvenile Hearing Board that understands that process and understands how kids get in trouble. So we're lucky to have you, and I echo the comments of my fellow council members. Thank you.
Thank you, Council President.
Any other questions from the council? Any questions from the public? Hearing none, do I hear a motion?
Move for reappointment.
Second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you.
The next item on the agenda is PCR 179-19, resolution adding a member of the public to the commission to examine possible means of tax relief. Councilman Ricks and Councilman Lattiser.
I would request favorable action on this. So the reason that this is coming before us today, as opposed to being part of the initial legislation, was that Ms. Shine approached me shortly before the legislation was to be voted on by the council. So I didn't want to hold the legislation for further study, just to consider whether or not recommending the appointment of this additional person. However, as this is the one additional person who approached before the legislation was in fact heard and then passed by the council as a whole, and for the reasons that this individual has also really gone above and beyond in presenting research. In fact, when she introduced herself to me, she came armed with several spreadsheets showing the research that she had already done on the topic. And also, this would give us an odd number on the commission, and it's always better for anybody that votes to have an odd number as opposed to an even number. For those reasons, she stands out to me as the one person most suited to be added to the commission. And, well, for those reasons, I would request favorable action, but would now yield for any questions or comments by other members.
Any other questions from the council? Hearing none, do I, any questions from the public? Hearing none, do I hear a motion?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
It is now 9:15, and the Committee on Appointments has now comes to a close.
The time is 9:16 p.m. The City Council Committee on Public Properties, Land Use, and Community Affairs comes to order. First, we have a number of minutes before us, starting with the minutes for July 15, 2019. Do I hear a motion?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Next, the minutes for August 19, 2019.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Next, the minutes for the meeting on October 7, 2019. Do we have a motion?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Next, the minutes for October 21, 2019. Do we have a motion?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Next, the minutes for November 4, 2019. Do we have a motion?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Last, the minutes for November 18, 2019. Do we have a motion?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Okay. Next item up is PCO 22-19, sponsor Councilman Lattiser, title ordinance relative to council office space. This is the for first passage. It's not drafted. Do we have a recommendation for
hold January 6th?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Held to January 6th. Let's see. Am I missing a page from the agenda? Thank you, and found it. Okay, second item. PCR 182-19, resolution regarding lease of the Cooper Building. Councilman Lattiser.
Hold January 6th.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
And last, PCR 185-19, resolution in regards to the creation of a Vietnam Memorial at the Warwick Veterans Junior High School. Councilwoman Travis.
Favorable action?
Let's see. Any further comments from members of the committee as to the proposed amendment? Any comment from members of the City Council? Any comment from members of the public on the proposed amendment? Let me just pull up that legislation.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, just a point of clarification. On the actual resolution itself, the primary sponsor should be Councilwoman Travis. I am the co-sponsor. This is an issue in her ward. So, just to clarify.
Thank you. Let's see. I see that in addition to the title, there is also a reference to junior high school at line 26 and at line at lines 26 and 30. And yes, the in the title at line 14. So
strike junior high.
All right. The amendment has been clarified that it would strike the phrase junior high at lines 14, 26, and 30 and replace it with the word middle. Councilman Corley, is your amendment also inclusive of swapping Councilwoman Travis for Councilman Lattiser to reflect that? Very good, that she is the primary sponsor. And let's see, any questions or comments from members of the council on this motion to amend? Any questions or comment from members of the public on this motion to amend? Hearing none, all in favor? Aye.
Second.
Aye. Oh, excuse me. Okay. Did we have a second on that motion?
I'll move it. Okay.
Very well. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries 3-0. And there being no further business of this committee, the committee meeting closes at 9:22 p.m.